Our gospel passage this morning makes me uncomfortable for three reasons. The first reason is that my mother and two of my grandparents are or were judges, and half of the rest of my family are lawyers, and this is just one of the many, many times that Jesus gives a less than flattering picture of the legal profession. More seriously, the second reason that this gospel passage is uncomfortable is that at first glance, it seems that Jesus is giving a less than flattering picture of God. On first read-through, it certainly appears that this parable is comparing God to an unjust judge, a judge who only gives in to the petitions of a widow because she won't stop nagging him. Which might imply that our job as God's faithful chosen would be to annoy God into submission until God gives in to our demands. Now, this isn't what Jesus is saying, although this certainly is an image of God that we hear about from time to time, a quid pro quo kind of God who waits for a certain number of prayers before finally giving us whatever we asked for. No, Jesus is using a technique that's actually found all over both the Old and New Testaments once you start to look for it. It's a technique that would have been well known among the teachers of Jesus' day. They would call it Kal Vachomer, or so that you don't need to hear me try to speak Hebrew again, we can call it the how much more technique. How much more? Because that's how it's often phrased. Jesus will often take a familiar situation and ask how much more it would be for God, or how much more in God's kingdom, or how much more for God's beloved. We actually heard a classic example of this a couple of weeks ago at James's induction. If you parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give to those who ask? Or as I'm sure many of us sang about in Sunday school, if God cares about the little sparrow falling from the tree, how much more does God care about you? In this story, the how much more is not stated outright, but implied. If the unjust judge will grant justice, even though he doesn't care about the widow, how much more will God grant justice to those he loves? If the judge hems and haws and eventually gives in to the widow's demands, how much quicker will God help us? If the judge only gives in to the widow because he's annoyed, how much better will God care for us when God knows our needs before we even say them and God wants to help us? God is not an unjust judge. God does not help us because we pray enough or because we pray in the exact right way, or even because we pray at all. God grants us justice because God loves us. But maybe because Jesus knows that so many other people have that other image of God, that quid pro quo God, Jesus starts with that familiar image to show that God is so much more than that, and that we can rely on that good, faithful God when we fear that we will lose heart. Now, I wish I could end on that positive note, but I did say there were three things that made me uncomfortable. And here's the third. If Jesus is right, and God is so good and loving, and that God will quickly grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? How can we explain all of us whose cries for justice seem to go unanswered? How can we possibly believe that God is so much better than this unjust judge when the world is still filled with injustice, poverty, and oppression? I'm sorry to say that I don't have a satisfying answer for that, and neither do most theologians. I'm even more sorry to tell you that this story doesn't even try to answer it. This is a parable. It's an opportunity to imagine alongside Jesus. It's not a systematic theology about the reason that God allows evil in the world. What this parable does do, though, is give us a model for what we can do when we question God's justice. Because this story is not just about a judge, but also about a widow. It's about a woman who experiences injustice and demands better. A woman who is not afraid of offending the judge or saying the wrong thing or speaking out of turn. And while God is not an unjust judge, we are allowed to be the widow. We don't need to pretend with God that we aren't angry at God. We are allowed to tell God if we feel that God has let us down. We are allowed to complain to God, to bother and nag God, just like this widow bothers and nags her judge. Just like so many of the Psalms in our Bible ask God, "How long, O Lord? How long?" And this type of prayer is not an act of unbelief, but an act of trust that God is there to hear our angriest prayers. Now, the obvious follow-up question to this is, why pray at all? Why pray when we experience injustice, when we don't know that God will grant justice? When we don't believe in a quid pro quo God who can be annoyed into giving us what we want? But I have to admit, that's not one part of the story that makes me uncomfortable. Maybe it's because I was raised by lawyers who taught me to always speak my mind. But I've always wanted to tell God what I'm feeling, even when I wasn't sure that I was praying to a God of justice. I've always wanted the creator of the universe to know when I'm angry or sad or scared. I just wasn't always sure that I was allowed. I haven't struggled to feel like I should pray when I didn't want here to. So I can't really stand here and quote Jesus and tell you to pray always. That wouldn't exactly be fair. But I will say with complete certainty that if you want to tell God what you really feel about the injustice in the world or the injustices in your life, if you need to cry out to God, but you're afraid of offending or bugging God or saying the wrong thing, you are allowed to be the widow. It is always your day in court.